From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The Commerce Department says retail sales growth slowed sharply last month. The 0.4% rise in consumer spending was better, though, than economists had expected, but far below the surge posted in March. Financial analyst Michael Farr says consumers appear to be willing to spend if jobs and wages continue to improve.
Purchasing has been sort of a tale of two consumers. Low-end consumers are not increasing purchases. High-end consumers are.
The gain in retail sales marks a seventh straight monthly increase. A separate report suggests businesses are increasingly confident about the economic recovery. The government says they boosted their inventories for a third straight month in March. The investigation into the Times Square bombing plot is centering on how the main suspect in the case got money. Reporter Sonari Glinton of member station WBUR in Boston reports that the three Pakistani men taken into custody yesterday reveals an informal network of money brokers.
The investigation that stretches from New Jersey through Maine centers on the system of hawala. That's the informal way of sending money from place to place using wire transfers, couriers, and overnight mail. The system is cheaper and can be quicker than banks when sending money overseas. But since 9/11, it's drawn increased attention from authorities who say it can be used to funnel money to and from terrorists. Officials say the men arrested in New England provided Faisal Shahzad, the Times Square bombing suspect, with money, but it's unclear if they knew what the money was for. Meanwhile, the three men arrested are being charged with violating immigration laws, and so far, they aren't being charged in direct connection with the Times Square bombing plot. For NPR News, I'm Sonari Glinton in Boston.
NASA is counting down to the final planned liftoff of Space Shuttle Atlantis from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The orbiter and its six-member crew will head to the International Space Station on a 12-day mission. Judith Smelzer has more from member station WMFE in Orlando.
Atlantis has seen many firsts in its 25-year history. It was the first space shuttle to launch a planetary probe in 1989 when it sent the Magellan probe on its trip to Venus. It was also the first shuttle to dock with the Russian space station Mir in 1995. So it's fitting that Atlantis's last scheduled flight will include another first when it delivers a Russian-built component to the International Space Station. Robbie Ashley is Atlantis's payload manager.
Not only is it the first Russian module to be launched or flown to station on the shuttle, it will be the last also, so a first and a last.
The module will provide a new docking port for Russian spaceships, as well as additional storage space for the station. For NPR News, I'm Judith Smelser in Orlando.
Stocks are down sharply this hour. The Dow is down 104 points. The Dow is off by 43. This is NPR News. BP is trying again to stop the oil in a blown-out well at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. This time, undersea robots are trying to insert a 6-inch tube with a stopper into the broken pipe to channel the oil into a tanker. President Obama, meanwhile, is meeting with members of his administration this morning to discuss the efforts and how to help communities affected by the oil spill. Russian officials are suspending their search for 24 workers missing in a coal mine disaster that killed at least 66 people. As Jessica Gallagher reports from Moscow, the move has many fearing that it will be difficult to find any more survivors.
Russian Emergency Ministry official Pavel Plat says that methane gas levels in the mine are at dangerous levels, and until those levels abate, which is expected to take about a week, rescue work will be suspended. Plat says methane gas levels are currently at about 7%. Around 1% is generally considered safe. Rescue operations at the Rospetskaya mine were suspended Thursday after high concentrations of the gas and fires were discovered in the mine's tunnels. There has been no contact with the missing workers since dual blast ripped through Russia's largest underground coal mine over the weekend. Officials believe methane gas could be responsible for triggering the first explosion. Industrial accidents are common in the former Soviet Union, where safety rules are lax. For NPR News, I'm Jessica Gallagher in Moscow.
Thailand's army has been moving to clear anti-government protesters from the streets of Bangkok and end a two-month political standoff, but the effort has led to clashes. At least four people are dead and more than 80 others are injured. Troops fired at the protesters and explosions have been heard in Bangkok. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.